Welcome to the Deeper Daily Broadcast with Pastor Paul White. We hope the good news of God's abundant grace and favor will be daily bread to your soul. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor Paul.
Welcome, friends, to the Deeper Daily Broadcast. We are continuing today with a message that we started last week. This is from a recent Wednesday evening adult Bible study from the pulpit of Midland Church in Poplar Bluff. Here is the church, an agent for social change or heart change.
The second one, verse 15. Or as a thief. The Greek word kleptes, K-L-E-P-T-E-S. And the Greek word for kleptes is one who frauds or steals in secret. One who frauds or steals in secret. And Peter says, if you're being persecuted or reviled because you are a thief, may it never be that a believer suffers for being a thief. Okay? In other words, may we never be thieves. May we never defraud one another. And again, this is a persecution that comes on you because of the lifestyle you lead. All right? The church is not being persecuted whenever it's being accused of stealing money from people or hurting them financially or riding on their backs to get ahead or exploiting the people's finances. And then the world exposes us on the news and we go, oh, that's just an attack of the devil. No, Peter said, shameful that we would call persecution being exposed for being thieves. Okay? Do you know what I'm talking about? You ever see this happen? And the news media will come and want to see the records and know where all the money's going, and we'll go, oh, it's nobody's business. They're just out to get us because they're trying to stop the gospel from going forth. If we could ask the Apostle Peter what he thought, he would have said, shameful that any of us would ever suffer for stealing. And we call that persecution? That's not persecution. That's why did you steal in the first place? Why weren't you honest in the first place? Why are you riding everybody's back in the first place? And we do it. Notice that the word kleptos is to steal by secrecy. To fraud the people, not openly. We're not holding them at gunpoint. We're too righteous for that. We're too righteous to put the gun up and hold them at gunpoint. So rob. And I think the message, and I'm going to just jump out here. I haven't heard anybody else say this. So, you know, I'm used to going out there all by myself sometimes anyway. But I think this constant message of you better give, you better give, you better give, because if you don't give, God will curse you. I think it is stealing in secret. And I think the persecution that comes against the church because we talk about giving, we brought a lot of that on ourselves. Because the world will never persecute you if you preach Paul's message of giving, which is give cheerfully, give because you don't have to, give from your heart. What in the world's the world going to say about that? Nobody held no spiritual gun at you and said, you give this or you go to hell. You give this or God curses you. There's no persecution to be derived from that. Peter said, shameful if we're getting persecuted because we're stealing from people in secret. Let's not be found in this part of the verse. All right. Third portion. Okay. Let's see it again. 15. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief. Here's number three. Or as an evil doer. K-A-K-O-P-O-I-S. Kekopoi in the Greek. Kekopoi in the Greek meaning a malcontent. A malcontent. And it really comes out pretty close to what the King James has as evildoer, or that which spreads evil. Now, I want to show you where this was used the first time in this book, okay? Keep your finger right here and go backwards two chapters. Peter's already used this verse once. He uses it in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 12. We're going to see if we can establish the meaning of chapter 4 by going back, same book, chapter 2. Let the Bible interpret the Bible, right? Chapter 2, verse 12. Having your conversation, please underline the word conversation and write in conduct. We've told you this before. The Greek word for conversation was different than the 1611 English word. Conversation to us is talking back and forth. Conversation in 1611, when it was translated into English, was how you live. In other words, it was our word conduct. So here's what Peter says. Have your conduct honest among the Gentiles. Who should you have it honest among? He's not talking about a religious sect. He's talking about sinners. Have your conduct honest among the world, that whereas they're speaking against you as evildoers, That is our big malcontent coming up in chapter 4. There it is. Evildoers. The Greek kekapeos. Evildoers, malcontent. Whereas they speak against you as a malcontent, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God on the day of visitation. Look at this. Live so honest in front of them that when they call you an evildoer, it's going to be obvious by the stuff coming out of your life that it's not possible that you're an evildoer. Let me give you a piece of advice that an old preacher gave me when I just went into the ministry. Now, I took this as law, okay? But I want you to take it as grace, right? He said it this way. I'd say it a little. He said it this way. Live so far beyond reproach, Paul, that if somebody says something about you, nobody will believe it. Okay? Live that far beyond reproach. Now, I would say it this way. Let's say it, grace instead of law, all right? I would say, let Christ show forth in you with such righteousness and beauty that nobody would believe that you've done what has been said about you. Okay? That takes the responsibility off of you and lets Christ shine through you. Because I found I couldn't live the advice that guy gave me. I couldn't live that good. But Jesus can live beyond reproach. So Peter says, have your conduct, have your lifestyle so good amongst the Gentiles that they, if they say you're a malcontent, if they say you're an evildoer, nobody's going to believe it. 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it's to the king as supreme or it's to governors as to them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Look at this. Everybody in government that's over you, submit yourself to them. Whether it's to the king or whether it's to the governor, whether it's to the president, whether it's to the Congress, submit yourself to them because they've been placed over you. Paul addresses this in Romans 13 when he says they've been placed over you by God to be the sword of God's judgment on the earth. Not against your soul, but against your physical act. So if you commit murder, they're going to throw you in prison and they're going to put you in the gas chamber. And that was Paul's way of saying that's the sword of judgment of execution amongst men. Peter says, 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So, your work should be so good that people hear sinners talk about you and they go, shut up. Shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Not that guy. You got the wrong guy. Now, if you're a believer and you're living like a sinner, then when sinners talk bad about you, other sinners are going to believe it. Because they watch you do stuff sinners do. I didn't say you're going to hell. You're just living like it. Plain and simple. It's time to wake up to righteousness and leave sin behind. And when you do that, let righteousness show up in your life that, and live so much as Jesus living through you that when people talk about you, people find out, oh, that's the ignorance of foolish men. Look how that ends. The ignorance of foolish men talking. That's all that's talking. And so Peter is telling us to live in a way. Now, go back to chapter 4. Because there was our word, malcontent, false accusations. Jesus was accused of the same Greek word when they called him a malefactor. Okay? And we know Jesus didn't do anything to be considered an evildoer. So I'm not saying that if the world says it, it's because you are an evildoer. The world will say it whether you're one or not. But have his righteousness showing forth so much in you that nobody believes him. Here's practical advice. You cannot stop people from telling rumors on you and just telling flat out lies. You can't stop it. You can live totally beyond reproach and somebody walk out of your life and go tell everybody they know a total fabrication about you. A total lie. And if you've lived that way in the past, I'm going to just be honest with you. You're going to have some struggles overcoming the stuff people say about you. And people all the time will come to me and go, you know, Pastor, though it ain't fair, but I've been saved 6 months. I ain't lived like that in a year. And they're still saying that they don't believe me, that I would go out and do stuff like that. And how do I convince them? Because I used to be that way. I say, look, there's no way you're going to convince them. You're going to have to let righteousness show up in you now for the rest of your life. Let righteousness start coming out of you now. Don't live in condemnation over there pulling up the stuff you did a year ago. Or, I know how you used to be. Say, hey, you're right. I used to be that way. And a lot of sinners are going to say, but you ain't really changed. I know you're still the same way. Say, look, I can't convince you of anything. All I'm going to do is just let Jesus live through me. I'm going to let Jesus live through me. I can't convince you that I'm not who I used to be. But maybe, my life will glorify Jesus so much that you'll start believing me. That's the best advice I can give to you to tell them. and then let that Christ show up in you. And be quick in front of sinners, especially the ones you work with and you live around that you're trying to witness to and tell about Jesus. Be quick to admit when you're wrong. Okay? I know you don't have to run off to Jesus and spend 10 minutes on your break asking God to forgive you for the stuff you just did wrong, because you know He forgives you anyway. But there are some people that need to hear out loud sometimes in your life. They need to hear you say, "Hey, I'm really sorry that I did that." You say, "Well, if I say I'm sorry, I'll feel condemned." No, I'm not talking about feeling condemned before God. I'm talking about letting your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So sometimes you have to go to an unbeliever and say, "Look, I said something a while ago. It was really out of the character of the Jesus that lives in me. I'm sorry." Plain and simple. You say, "Well, they'll get over it. They can deal with it." Okay, live your life that way. And then when everybody badmouths you over the things that you do, you're going to have very little leg to stand on that Jesus is doing anything different in your life. Now, you know He is, but you still got to live in this world, right? Until you figure out a way to live in a bubble all by yourself somewhere and nobody ever confront you, talk to you, be around you, you're still going to have to deal with people. So let's let Jesus come out of us so He can deal with people. And that leads us to the fourth one, and this is the biggie. This is the biggie in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. Or as a busybody in other men's matters. Now, here's what's interesting about this phrase. This whole thing is one Greek word. Busybody in other men's matters is five words in the English. But it's one big fat Greek word that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. Okay? I'll spell it for you if you're a note taker. A-L-L-O. TRIOEPISKOPOS. You want to hear me give that a try? Allotrioepiscopus. Not too bad, right? Well, not bad at all. I'm kind of proud of myself. We can dismiss now and all of us go home. I pulled that off. Okay, that big old long Greek word that I'm not going to say again is five words in the English. And they come out, busybody in other men's matters. And guess what? Aloka, blah, 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 blah. Never shows up again in the Bible. This is the only place. Thank God. Nobody wanted to write that word twice is what it was. They were going to write it. And forget it. Let's just use another word. The only time it shows up is right here. And it means, it's not too bad, really, in the English, a busybody in other men's matters. That was the best thing they could come up with when they translated into English. Well, this is a humongous Greek word. You can imagine how many root words are in there, right? We're not even going to try to break that down. We'd be here all night. Appears nowhere else, but what it means is this in the English. One who is an overseer in somebody else's business. Okay? One who oversees somebody else's business. Now, in the Greek, not in a positive connotation, but in a negative connotation. In other words, not one that you hire to be the foreman. One who sticks their nose in other people's business. Right? Now watch what Peter says as the final rebuke against you getting persecuted. He says, "May you never be called your persecution because you've been a murderer or because you've been a thief."
That is all that we have time for today. I want to thank you for listening to this message, The Church, an agent for social change or heart change. If you would like a copy of this message in its entirety, approximately 1 hour and 10 minutes on CD, contact us at the ministry and we will send it to you postage paid and free of charge. The title is The Church, an agent for social change or heart change. We'll continue this message tomorrow, and until then, this is Pastor Paul White reminding you that you are greatly blessed, highly favored, and deeply loved.
Thank you for joining us for the Deeper Daily Broadcast. To order products mentioned in today's program, write us at Paul White Ministries, P.O. Box 985, Poplar Bluff, Missouri 63902, or call us at 573-686-2414. To order online, visit our website at www.paulwhiteministries.org. May God's abundant grace and favor be with you in Jesus' lovely name.